Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. On today's episode, I am thrilled to have Ty Abrams in the studio. Ty, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me today.
Well, you guys are in for a treat today. Ty is, first of all, the best-selling author of Who Am I? An A to Z Career Guide for Teens, and the founder and CEO of Admission Squad Incorporated.
Thank you so much for having me. I actually founded that organization only a few years ago with a mission to get students from underserved backgrounds into the specialized high schools in New York City. And we have since expanded to help students to get into top high schools. We provide mentorship, we provide summer programming, and partner with middle schools. And the goal is to get them on track for high-level success.
Wow, Ty. And what made you want to do that?
I actually went to Bronx Science, which is one of the specialized high schools here in New York City. And from there, I got into Duke University, majored in math, had the opportunity to intern as an investment banker. And I just saw a strong launch to my career, and I attribute it to the quality of schools that I went to. So I noticed when I came back to New York in 2012 that a lot of students who came from Black and Latino backgrounds were challenged with placing into the specialized high schools and even some of the screen programs here in the city. So, of course, I wanted to build programming around it to ensure that students' future was not left up to chance.
Excellent. And so they have you as a wonderful role model, mentor, and sponsor to really increase the odds and likelihood of their success of getting into specialized high schools here in the city. And as a parent, I can really appreciate that. So thank you so much for providing such a necessary service for so many students.
Thank you so much. It's a really important work. And we know that this year, only 7 Black students placed into Stuyvesant High School. And that's an alarming number out of 19,000 eighth graders. So it's important. It's an important conversation happening right now. De Blasio is on the job, as well as Chancellor Carranza, to help diversify the schools. And it's amazing that we exist as an organization that's actively doing the work.
And you've been doing a lot of wonderful things. I know you were on TV recently. You've been quoted in the newspaper.
Yes.
You're on fire.
Yeah, I was on Fox News talking about the same work. I was on News 12. Actually, there's a commercial out right now that's made it onto all of the mainstream media networks. So that's pretty exciting. And the goal is just to be a voice and an advocate for these students who need someone to be out there speaking on their behalf. So it's been such a blessing.
Wow. And so it's a blessing for us to have you on the show today, Ty.
Thank you.
So for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, you can simply call our hotline and leave a message asking a question that you're contemplating. And it doesn't have to be a conflict. It could be anything that's going on for you and you're not quite sure how to navigate it. Or it could be an actual conflict that you really want to hear from someone who's not invested in the outcome. With a co-host on the air for the first time, we will play the message and give you some feedback as to what we would do in that situation. So, without further ado, what do you say, Ty? Let's play our first message.
Absolutely, I'm ready.
You have one message.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I was reaching out to Molly to see if you had advice. I have a story that's wanted to come out of me for a long time, and I'd love your advice on how to write a book or a screenplay, and then also taking into consideration if I write about previous employers in there, can I use their names? How does that work? Any advice there would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
So that's exciting. Sarah has a story that's been wanting to come out of her for a long time. And I know that you've written a book, Ty. And so how do you help someone? How do you guide someone who wants to write a book?
Sure. I think we all have a book inside of us. So just get out there and write already. I think it's so important to take that extra step. I think one of the first things you have to ask yourself is, do you want to be self-published or do you want to have an actual publisher to work with? One of the biggest things you want to think about is, almost how much of the revenue do you want to keep and how much support do you need from a marketing perspective. If you have an actual publishing house that's backing you, they will take a significant amount of the profits. In some cases, you might just get a dollar per book. Let's just be honest here. But the positive is that they have relationships with booksellers across the country. They have the actual infrastructure set up to get your book into the hands of more people and get the visibility out there quickly. In some cases, I've seen when a person actually has a stronger command of their niche market, more so than a publishing house, it might be in their best interest to self-publish. So there's some folks who are really savvy with social media, or they have these massive followings, or you have an extensive email list. You likely could launch a book, you know, within the next month or so and get a significant amount of sales. So that's your first question. Now, if you do choose to self-publish, you could go through Amazon. They've switched over from CreateSpace to Kindle Direct Publishing. And I mean, it's so easy. You just like write it. I mean, seriously, just get it done. I love Fiverr, you know, for any of my graphics. But you can, of course, hire a graphic designer if you need that type of support. There are a couple additional steps, but I mean, things like an ISBN number, you know, choosing the pricing for your book, making sure you have a good, you know, back and front cover. But those are things that I think you can figure out at that point. The biggest thing is making sure you have, you know, your table of contents in order, you know your niche market, you know you're bringing something to the market that doesn't exist already, or improving upon a product that's already out there. And I think from that perspective, you can be very successful.
Well, Ty, I'm so excited. Your enthusiasm about writing a book has made me want to write a book. I mean,
awesome.
And you already know I have a book, many books that want to come out of me as
yes.
well. And so what's really awesome about what you said is that once you've determined whether or not you want to self-publish or publish, there are different paths that a potential author could take. Take me a step back. What if she has ideas and they're all in her mind? What should she do first before she makes a decision as to how to self-publish? All these amazing ideas floating in her head, and she's like, now what? What if she's not a writer naturally? What should she do?
Okay, so if you're not a writer naturally, because guess what? I'm not a writer either. I'm a mathematician, and I still figured it out. So I know you can do it too. You can get a ghostwriter. You can get a ghostwriter if you want someone to be that writing partner for you. Some of these, like I had an editor that I work with, they actually function as ghostwriters as well. So you can have that additional support and you can get your story out there. There's no reason why your lack of writing ability should hold you back from having a book. I don't even think President Trump, you know, wrote his book. You know?
Most presidents don't, right? They have exactly. someone that goes to ghostwrite for them,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. So why not? You can do it too.
If the president can do it, you can do it
absolutely.
Too, Sarah. But I think, you know, what's also really key about what Ty is saying is clearly you have to be passionate about the topic, because even to hire a ghostwriter or an editor, you still have to be able to communicate the ideas that you have
absolutely.
In a way mm-hmm. so that they can follow the path, and so that you can get so that the end result of what you have matches what you had in your mind. And so one of the great tips that a good friend of mine, her name is Jody Kendall, she's a published author. I think her books are primarily focused for children, but we were having coffee recently and she said to me, Damali, just start writing. And she quoted someone else, and I'm going to forget who, but the point was, there was something called Don't Break the Chain. And the idea was every day, write a little bit and then put an X on the calendar. And so even if it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or however long you can afford to mm-hmm. devote your time to this effort, if you write a little bit every day and put an X on the calendar, you're going to see a chain. You're going to see a chain of X's. And you don't want to break the chain. And if you do that for a consistent period of time, then that might help you to launch your idea, to have it written down, to be able to communicate it to a ghostwriter or an editor. And you'll get more excited about it, right? Because mm-hmm. you're seeing some fruit of your labor.
Yep. I love that. Another quick strategy that I've seen is, let's say you host a webinar. There's a tool called Voice to Text. I'm sure that everyone knows that about that by now. And you can actually transcribe your entire webinar into text. And
that's
so
phenomenal.
You can, let's say you have your book, you've written your outline, make sure the outline tells the story that you want to tell. And let's say for the next 10 days or the next few weeks, you host a webinar on each topic, and that turns into the text that you're going to need for that chapter. So that's a quick way to do it as well.
That's fantastic. I love these sort of great ways to use technology
Absolutely.
To help you so you're not sitting there typing and writing and editing. Another thing that another friend said, and this actually could have been you, Ty, was just to start writing and get it all out, put it all out mm-hmm. there and then edit afterwards. But just
Absolutely.
As far as like brainstorm the content and put it out there.
And you have an editor. Like my editor helped me a lot.
You're not alone, is what she said to Sarah. One of the other questions that you had, Sarah, was you want to write about previous employers, and you wanted to know, could you use their names, and how does that work? And the first thing that comes to mind for me there is you always want to ask permission of anyone. If you're using their name or an image, you always want to ask permission of them, and you want to get that permission in writing. Second, you may notice that many people who write about real-life occurrences typically say things like the names of the individuals mentioned in this book have been changed. You know, the places have been changed. This is all fictional. And so you may want to consider whether or not having their actual names really adds value, or is it the message that you're trying to convey or the story that you're trying to tell that is more important? What do you think, Ty?
I agree with you. I mean, for me, 9 times out of 10, I would prefer to just use anonymous names, like folks who you just made up fictional characters where you're still getting your point across on what you want to convey. The only time I feel you need the actual person's name is when that person is recognizable, or it just really adds more credence to the book. And again, I would suggest that you reach out. They would be honored in many cases to hear that you're speaking positively about them in the book. Now, if not, you know, you might want to consider a different route.
Absolutely. And then the other thing, too, is thinking about kind of copyrights and how each person has the right to their own image, et cetera. And so you probably want to think about talking to an attorney or someone on your team if you're working with a publishing company, because they typically have agreements that are pretty standard for getting releases from people to use their likeness, mm-hmm. Their image, et cetera, in a book. But I agree with Ty. If your message has nothing to do with an individual in particular, and even if you're going to say something positive, you still want to think about whether or not you have to say, you know, it was Michael who did this or said that, or I learned this from Michael. Because sometimes what I've seen happen too is books that have been successful, people who are referencing those books are like, okay, where's my payment for
that too,
right?
They want to check.
And so there are a lot of considerations. And what I love is that you're actually thinking about these things. You're thinking about
sure.
how you start writing a book. You also mentioned a screenplay. That's a completely different set of considerations, but I do think that it does start with taking that idea out of your mind and putting it on paper. And then there's so many resources now available.
Sure.
I saw some recently online about how to write a screenplay. I go to Sundance. I've gone to Sundance mm-hmm. for the last 2 years, and so I'm always so captivated and so impressed by the number of amazing films that I see at Sundance. And so occasionally I'll go and look up, like, how to write a screenplay, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I wish all of those people luck who have the skill set to do this. But there's so many resources available online. Ty is a great resource for writing a book. What we'd love for you to do, Sarah, is to follow up with us.
Mm-hmm.
I always want to hear what happens when
Me
people
too.
Call in, right? Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to
see that book.
Me too. I want to see the book. I want to read the screenplay. And now I'm captivated. What are you writing about? What is your subject matter? I think that for us, it's always so amazing when our callers let us know that, oh, I've taken your advice and I've done this, or, oh, I decided to do X. We just want to hear from you. So feel free to call back Sarah mm-hmm. and let us know what you decided to do. What do you think, Ty? Let's play our next message.
Yes, I'm ready.
You have one message. Hi, Damali. I'm Abhishek. And I just had a question to ask you. At times I lose motive to pursue my dream. It's just because of the misunderstanding between me and my family towards my choice of career, which makes me overthink all the time and act passively. So, just have a question, like, how would you resolve this problem if you were in my shoes?
Oh, Abhishek, I feel for you. You said that you're losing some motive and motivation to pursue your dream because you think that it's doesn't align with what your family's visions for you are. What do you think about that, Ty?
This is a tough one. I always say you can have everything in life, just maybe not always at the same time.
That's a great saying.
And the second piece is planning is key. So it is about identifying the phase of life you are in and your family is in. You made a commitment to your family, so it is important to identify what those needs and responsibilities are. You may not necessarily be in the position where you can make a quick decision that only considers yourself. With that in mind, if you can identify whether it's a financial contribution, a time commitment, just what those rigid expectations are, and then what is the quickest way that you can leverage your dream to provide for that, leaving room for you to still go after what you want. That would be the ideal way, only because you have made a commitment to a family. So it is important. It is how it is. But there may be a time, I don't know how old, if you have children, how old they are, but I have friends who are, in their late 40s, early 50s now, their children are off to college, and now they are free to fully go after their dreams. They've already put money aside for their college tuition, and they had to make that sacrifice for at least a decade or so to prioritize family. So it's about timing, time and place, and really being diligent and committed to what you said you were going to do as
Absolutely.
A family man.
And also, I think sometimes you have to figure out how to pivot if necessary. Sometimes we make a commitment and we say we're going to do this, and we don't take into consideration that things may change along the way, or you may change along mm-hmm. the way. Mm-hmm. And so I love what Ty said, because basically she's saying that there you can probably have it all, maybe not at all at the same time, which is mm-hmm. a great saying, by the way. Mm-hmm. And two, figuring out how to do it within the structure that you have. I wish we knew what you're
trying to do.
Yeah, yeah. I wish we knew what it was, yeah. because I think we would be able to provide perhaps some more insight that could really pinpoint what you're feeling. It sounds like you said you're overthinking all the time because you feel like you have to make a decision between your choice of career and keeping your family happy. And I think a lot of people can relate to that.
A lot.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to do well. You want to make your family happy and proud. It's unclear whether it's family like parents and siblings or family like your own family, spouse, partner, children. But at the end of the day, one of the things that I think about often is I don't want to have any regrets. I always want people to try to reach their full potential. I think that there's so many opportunities that could present themselves to you, and figuring out, to Ty's point, when timing and opportunity align to really allow you that opening to do what you want to do.
Sure. And other pieces I can just, again, if this is your own family that where you have a wife, you have children, it's thinking about how do you do a lot in less time. So for me personally, again, I run a nonprofit. It takes up a lot of time. And I've had aspirations to do other things because I want a family at some point. So I personally have had to start thinking strategically about how do I redesign my work and still earn a certain amount of money in a way that takes up less time. So a part of that was me writing a book. A part of that was me actually launching online courses and setting up the infrastructure to teach people online. So I can actually make the same amount, if not more, in less time, which frees me up to be present to a family. So there are ways to accomplish what you want to do if you partner with technology. Okay?
Technology could be your friend.
Absolutely.
And I like what you said, Ty, because you're giving him an option for making passive income.
Yeah, passive residual automated income. This is the goal.
That is the goal. And so what I think is for you, Abhishek, I think that we would love to hear a little bit more about what you're doing, what the actual pursuit is. So what is your dream? What is the choice of career? I think that will be super helpful. In the meantime, I think we've given you some things to consider mm-hmm. with respect to how to balance it all, how to try to have it all, and then figuring out the right time and opportunity to jump out there to kind of launch this idea. I want to do something a little differently, Ty. Typically, we only play messages that we receive in our inbox, but I received an email yesterday, and I'd like to read it because I think that it would be great, given your background, to kind of have you weigh in on it. So I'll read it here. It says, I am a content creator, social entrepreneur, and founder CEO of a nonprofit organization. My interest in speaking to you is seeking how to properly diversify my skill set as a producer, director, content creator, and my role as founder CEO of the nonprofit. So it's interesting because it sounds like this person is doing a lot. And when I look at this question, what I'm hearing is, how do I do everything in addition to managing my nonprofit? And you just said, this is why I think it's so apropos that we have this message. Mm-hmm. You just said that you run a nonprofit. There are a lot of things that you have to do. And you have some other things that you want to do as well. And so for a person who's trying to figure out how to do it all, and the way that I see this question is not so much as to how to diversify her skill set, but how to figure out what she or he should be doing. Right, with their time.
Sure. So, again, from my perspective, running at Mission Squad takes up quite a bit of time. And it is a labor of love for my community. But I definitely had other aspirations. I wanted a personal brand. I wanted to be, again, an author, a speaker. I wanted to travel globally, be a consultant. So with that, one of the first things is definitely getting a team in place. Mm-hmm. So we definitely have instructors. We have interns. We have an assistant. We have like a whole bunch of folks who help to make Admission Squad work. And as we grow and as I'm able to find quality people to work the company, it frees up my time to be able to focus on other things. So that's first and foremost. If you want to keep the nonprofit in your suite of value add to the world, you need to ensure that you're leveraging other people's time, which will allow you room to pursue these other interests. From a branding perspective, it was also important that I kept the nonprofit separate from my personal brand. So we're talking about separate websites, separate social media pages, separate business cards. For my business card, on one side you see Admission Squad, the other side you see the personal brand stuff that I want to do. So people recognize that there are different ways that you can leverage me, and the nonprofit is only one facet of who I am and how I show up. From a conversational perspective, you want to make sure that you're allocating your time and how you're networking in different capacities. So you're going to various venues to expand your the folks who are interested in those services apart from the nonprofit. But the only way that you have time to do that is by leveraging other people's time for your nonprofit. So it all comes down to making sure you have a team in place so that you are in a position to move on. And if the nonprofit is not something that you want to do, that's a whole nother conversation. You might want to start thinking about how would you effectively transition into these new opportunities that it sounds like you're considering.
That was fantastic, Ty, and I love that you said that you have to think about ways to separate your various talents, persona, brand. I think that for you, caller, to piggyback on what Ty said is ask yourself, what do you want to do with your time? Because even though it sounds like you have so many amazing talents and you know how to do different things, you said content creator, you have the social justice desire, and you're the founder and CEO of a nonprofit, among other things, it sounds like you know how to do a lot of things. Query, what do you want to do? What do you see as being the most impactful way to spend your time? Do you want the nonprofit to be bigger than you? What I love about what Ty said is that she wanted to make sure that she was always separating her brand from her organization. And I also feel the same way. I have two companies, and for me, one has my name on it, so I'm in it. it's a part of me and my brand. The other company, I want to be bigger than me. I want it to grow and be a worldwide community of conflict resolvers. And so even though I'm the CEO of that company, I take a step back and I think about the team. I want to hire people who I think are smarter than me, better than me, to help this grow from all over the world. And so figure out what your goal is for your nonprofit. And then to Ty's last point, time management. Time management is key. Mm-hmm. Being able to rely on your team. When I hear you say that you're doing all these different things, I want to know, how do you feel about delegating? Delegating is so hard for entrepreneurs, for CEOs and founders, because it was your idea that launched the opportunity that you have today. And sometimes it can be very challenging to delegate.
That's critical. I mean, I struggle with that for quite some time. Coming in 2016 when we founded Admission Squad, we definitely had a team in place. Whether or not they were the quality that I was hoping for was not always in place. Now, you know, a couple years later, I think I had to take a step back, you know, be one of the few folks doing the work. And now I know how to hire.
Good.
I think that's the big thing. You have to learn how to hire and how to find folks who are stronger than you. Just to your point, I think that was a phenomenal tip there. And once you have the right people in place, you will have that sense of peace where you can take a step back and focus on other things. The other piece that I've been personally considering is, you know, do I have to be the CEO? At some point, maybe in a year or two, maybe it's time to actually hire a new CEO. I will still be on the board of my organization, but there may be someone who is in that phase who would be excited about this role because some of my other pursuits may have expanded. I will still be play a present role in the organization, help with fundraising and the, you know, the growth and direction of the organization. But I don't necessarily have to do play the role of CEO and, you know, be a consultant and, you know, be a content creator and do all these things. No, everyone has a gift. Let them operate in their gifts.
Yeah, I agree.
And you pay them.
And
it is great.
It's like baseball. Like, yeah, you might be able to play shortstop and catcher or pitcher, but does everyone need to play every position at all times?
Absolutely.
No. Everyone has their position, and the team works well when everyone's playing well at their position.
That's it.
That's really what it comes down to, right,
Ty?
That's
what it is. Figuring out what you do best.
Yeah.
And what you're most passionate about and where you're best aligned. And that's what you need to be doing right now.
Absolutely.
That's it.
And so do me a favor. I know that this came in not through our hotline, but through an email. I will respond to you and let you know kind of what to, one, check out this amazing podcast with Ty and I. Mm-hmm. And two, I want to hear what you're doing. Like, what have you decided to do? How much of the business are you still working in as opposed to on? And how can we continue to support you as you're figuring out how you should operate in the future? So do you want to do all of those things? Do you want to kind of pivot and change and focus on one aspect of all the amazing things that you're doing? Let's continue this dialogue. In the meantime, I want to thank all of our callers and the person who wrote in for providing such amazing content. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us today and for tuning in. And Ty, thank you so much for being here today. You've been phenomenal.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such an amazing podcast. I hope all of the callers will get in touch with us so we know exactly how you all are doing. And it's been a pleasure.
Oh, and you're amazing. Thank you. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day. Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BREAKTHROUGH DR. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.